it's gone. Just turn away, it's gone. But even one doesn't turn away, it's gone. Otherwise there must be clinging. Yes. With something there, this object clinging. One thing that I think that we have to consider a lot is that reality cannot be changed at all. Because Buddha had enlightened truth, absolute truth, never changed. Like Dhamma, just Dhamma, it's real. It has its own characteristic. So now, all are Dhammas, until it appears as it is, visible object, a Dhamma. Some people might think that we should understand the object, but actually, it's the understanding which hasn't been developed when there's no hearing of the word of the teaching. So it's not the object, but it's that which sannyā marks and citta experience and feeling feel, all that should be little by little known as it is, as not self. And now there's feeling, not conditioned to know it as not self yet, because it has to be the developed sati which can arise to do or to form the function of sammasati only. After hearing a lot and very firm confidence on Dhamma. See, so just Dhamma, it means that no one there, only a characteristic which follows one another all the time, like whisper object is followed by sound, is followed by hardness. But right understanding which hasn't been developed yet before hearing the teachings begins to understand here with citta, little by little. That's why many people try to concentrate on breath or other thing, but they do not know what's there that should be eliminated. The wrong understanding and ignorance. And so, since reality cannot be changed, if there is some idea or a little understanding, not enough. And when we read somewhere else with different meaning of just that word, it means that there must be very careful consideration about that, considering that what is the truth of that. For instance, yesterday we talked about the nimitta. All conditioned realities arise and fall away in split seconds. That's why the arising and falling cannot appear as it is, only by nimitta. For example, right now, even seeing consciousness is that which experience or which sees. What about the citta before that? The pavanga and the panchatavara vachana and sampatichana and santirana after that, and even the asava at moments of chavana, see, are there unknown. So everything is covered completely. Impossible, like the cement on the road. Very, very hard to just use your fingernail, a little bit of panya to dig up. See? So it takes long, long time, but with pleasant feeling that we have heard at least the way to develop understanding. And it's not I or anyone who can do or who can try different means to have it. They're all wrong, because Buddha showed the only one way, the Eightfold Path. And it has to be conditioned by the intellectual understanding enough. So right now, before there can be the understanding that actually there's no one at all, because behind that is just the four primary rupas. And what is seen is that which can impinge on the eye base and gone very quickly. No one can imagine. Otherwise, there must be moment that there can be the understanding of that which appears like very short, like sound. See? Sound appears not as long as what is seen, but still shorter than that. That's why it depends and have confidence on panya. Only when there's understanding, it's there that will develop little by itself. That's why the more there is hearing about the teachings, more considering, wise considering, if good condition, right understanding, very, very little at a time. That's why no matter how many times in life one heard about the seeing as the self, that's not enough. Until sammasati just arise. And when Thera once said that the panya does not appear because so very little, but the characteristic of sati is there because the object appears well. But panya develops from then on, little by little. So one can understand that it's not the moment of hearing, but it's the moment of a reality, its experience, well, by sati, sammasati. And one knows that without that moment, it's only intellectual understanding. But keep on understanding clearly. Don't mix them up or don't be wavered or shaken by one's own understanding. For example, the characteristic of reality and the nimitta of reality. Even before makkacitta arises, 3 moments of the nimitta, shorter than other moments, because it's before the moment of makka, which is so different from that which arises and falls away. So it's clearer than other nimitta. And when one heard about the aspect of experiencing the nimitta or the anulomayana, like barikama, upachara, and after that, kotrapu, see.
This is in the process of enlightenment that she's talking about, and before the enlightenment cittas there has to be one which is called gotrabhu, which is the change of lineage, because it's changing from the usual worldly object to nibbana. So it's just in the process of enlightenment.
Even the reality is before enlightenment arises and falls away. Parikama, anulom, kotrapu. Barikama, upachara, anuloma, and kotapu. Is this fast? When panya is not there, it's not like that when panya is there. See, it's like the magnificent glass that can understand.
Magnifying
glass. Thank you. Yeah. See, so nimitta is there, but the citta which experiences have 3 different aspects. It's dukkha, anicca, or it's anatta. That's why this nibbana is the moment after these experiences. So it can be sunyata nibbana or so and so, 3 kinds, according to the citta which experienced the nimitta before, moment of makkha and pala. And after that, it is the, what you call, panchavekana.
A reviewing consciousness.
Reviewing.
After the moments of
enlightenment. And the result of the moment of enlightenment, then there is reviewing consciousness, which experiences the citta or the cetasikas that enlighten to the object nibbana or nibbana. So it reviews what has just been experienced and also what defilements have been eradicated.
So it's the review process.
The review process is right after the
right after
that, and then the sendo or maido usual process continue, right? And then there can be another review sometime in the daily life also?
We don't call it review because that has to follow the process of enlightenment immediately after.
So for different level, like for the Sotapanna or for the Sakadagami, so the how different it is about the enlightenment? How different?
Because it's not the moment of experiencing Nibbana exactly with that which eradicate defilement. Makkhacitta is different from Palacitta because without that moment, the wrong view and the kilesa cannot be completely eradicated. That is the difference between Makkha and Pala.
Is your question about the different levels of enlightenment? What are the differences in the successive stages of enlightenment? Well, one of the differences is that different kilesas are eradicated at different stages.
Just to know that the words of the Buddha cannot be changed. No matter you read here or there, the right understanding has to develop enough to understand. That's all. Because so much that you will read, more than just now, when time goes on.
So, for example, when we say an object become clearer, the reality
because of the understanding.
Yes, is that also because of the sati?
Because of the citta and cetasikas,
because
which develops to the degree that it can understand that, so that object appears well. Without understanding, it's like with moha experience. With
so
moha.
Before enlightenment, so is that the sati? Like it arise more often, or
is there sati now?
No.
At moment of understanding, yeah, there must be sati, right? Yeah. But not satipatthana. So one knows when talking about seeing, the characteristic of that which experiences does not appear as not self. So it's only intellectual sati.
When Ajahn speaks about the object appearing well, she's referring to moments of satipatthana. But at the moment of enlightenment, Nibbana is the object, and certain unwholesome tendencies are eradicated or reduced. And the reviewing consciousness after enlightenment and result of enlightenment can see which unwholesome tendencies have been reduced by that stage of enlightenment. But then, as you said, the jittas that follow that are ordinary sense kamavachara jittas like we're having now. So there are wholesome and unwholesome moments of consciousness arising as now, but certain unwholesome tendencies cannot arise at all until, of course, the enlightenment of the arahant, when all unwholesome tendencies have been eradicated. And then following that, no more wholesome or unwholesome jittas, just a mahagiriya jittas.
You're talking about the reviewing consciousness over the maito process?
Yes.
Okay.
So the process of maghacitta and phalacitta just happened once, just happened one time at one degree of enlightenment. Just happened once.
So at the moment of becoming a Sotapanna, it's one or two maggacittas at that moment. The maggacitta experiences Nibbana, and then actually that one maggacitta experiences Nibbana, and then it's followed by the palacittas, which are the result, the vipakacittas, the fruition cittas, and then immediately followed by the reviewing consciousness, the pachavekana cittas. And they're the jitas that know exactly what is experienced and understand the citta which experienced Nibbana and the defilements that have been completely eradicated for good.
So several Pajjavekana cittas, and then life as normal, but no more of those defilements that have been eradicated. So for the Sotapanna, no doubt, no wrong view, and so on ever again. Yes.
So I'm just wondering whether you've heard a different explanation, because both of you have asked about repetition of the reviewing consciousness later.
Before, I think that I shouldn't study, I shouldn't think of much about the high, a very high level of Aryan, such as the inside, the state of inside, or the Nibbana, or Lokuttara Citta, on so very, very far to purpose. But then after that, when I read the definition of four state of enlightenment, and so I can make sure that now the only way have to go with the understand the what appear now after reading the definition.
My understanding about these different cheetahs, the cheetahs in the process and the cheetah which reviews and the object and so on, it makes it so clear that it's each cheetah that arises by conditions, even at enlightenment. No one who becomes a Sotapanna, no one who experiences Nibbana, no one who eradicates defilements, no one who knows anything about enlightenment cheetahs. It's just different cheetahs which arise, each has its own function, fall away instantly, each one anatta, not anyone who does anything at any point. So whatever the topic, whatever the subject, we can see they are just different conditioned dharmas that couldn't be any other way.
But I keep curious that why after sitting errands, when the Buddha was a Bodhisattva, he could become an arahat if he changed his decision. But when he didn't change his decision to become a Buddha, and he couldn't become an arahat.
But can you change your decision now, like at this moment of seeing or this moment of thinking? Can you change it? Why not?
Because of anatta.
Why can't you change it?
The seeing, hearing occur by the karma, and thinking occur by its own condition.
Okay. So last life, could you change your decision?
No, nothing can change.
So could the Buddha change his decision?
No.
Why not?
Because
if you cannot change any decision because it's just dharma, which is anatta, which is conditioned, like you told me, how can the Buddha change his conditions?
But why his panya has developed to a certain high degree to become an arahat? So how could he?
By conditions. So like now, if panya develops to a high degree, does it mean that then when it develops to a high degree that little Hung can change her decision or her way of thinking?
And for example, if Buddha can change his decision, he may make us all enlightened.
Was there any Buddha who could do anything in reality? Did the Buddha become enlightened in reality?
Yes.
What is the Buddha?
The Buddha?
Just Nama and Rupa.
Nama and Rupa. And in the process of enlightenment, these cheetahs, Sir Jan was just talking about the Parikama, the Upajara, the Gotrabu, the Anuloma, the Gotrabu. Is it different for the Buddha because of his great wisdom? Or are there still just conditioned dharmas?
Yeah.
Still just conditioned dharmas. So no Buddha to change any decision. Just different dharmas arising by conditions. No matter we're talking about the great wisdom of the Buddha or the tiny wisdom we have today. It's still just different dharmas, each one conditioned. Each decision, each moment of thinking is conditioned. Cannot be any other way.
I think there's one kind of culture in the other Buddhism that someone can get a high level of enlightenment, but he's willing to rebirth to teach for other his next life, something like that, like in Tibetan or even in Chinese stuff. They have such kind of, let's say, they're not to be in the final level of Nibbana, but rebirth for teachings everyone, something like that. I don't know how to call it in English, but
no,
they
like
do have
a
Bodhisattva. As we were saying yesterday, the Buddha taught the way to the ending of existence, to the end of life in the realm of samsara. And the path he taught was the path to that result. So if one develops that path, there cannot be an option not to have the result of that development. Nothing in what he taught as we have it suggests that there could be any other consequence other than the ending of life in samsara. Because he said that don't even wish for a moment of additional lifespan in samsara.
The more one understands about
Dharma now and how it's conditioned, how it cannot be made any other way, the more one understands that it must have been like this in the past and it must be like this in the future. But if one thinks, well, Dharma now is conditioned and anatta, but in the case of the Buddha it must be different, or still at the moment of anuloma somehow the gotra bull can be stopped to prevent enlightenment occurring, it means actually it's not really the understanding of anatta at this moment. So each thought, each moment of understanding, each citta is conditioned and cannot be any different way.
I think what you were explaining is the belief in some other traditions is that, if I'm not mistaken, that enlightenment is attained, but after that there's a decision not to
because I have been attained some Tibetan Buddhism, and someone people suppose that he or she got enlightened already, like a Buddha. But let's say she or he can decide whether to rebirth or just like got to the Nibbana, something like that. And like they have the number one, number two, number three. I think you guys already heard about that. Like Dalai Lama 14. Or Karmapa 17, something like that. That's the rebirth several times. Until now it is 14 times. Like the other one is 17 times. And there are many, many, many monks like that way. Yeah.
Do you believe?
Right now I think I'm not.
Before then?
Before that I do believe. I do believe, yeah. And before I don't understand that, but now I a little bit clearer. One more kind of, let's say, one story of very famous one in Vietnam or in Chinese story, when he come into the prepare for cut the hair, and the master asked why you want to become a monk, something like that. And most of the story tell that I want to become a Buddha. After studying like this, becoming Buddha is become nothing. Not the purpose, wrong from the purpose from beginning, I think. Becoming something is the idea of the self, to become Buddha, become something. You got my point, right? About the story.
like you say, it's a story.
So yes. No understanding of Dhamma as anatta, and the idea of I becoming this or that, or it's all the idea of people becoming enlightened or becoming bodhisattvas, or it's not the understanding of cheetahs and how each cheetah arises and how cheetah arises in a process, and how, as Ajahn said at the beginning, reality cannot be changed at all. So it's like we said yesterday, after seeing, it must be followed by Sampaticcana, Santirana, one Kriya Chitta, then Kusala, Akusala Chittas, and so on, Bhavanga Chittas. It cannot be changed any other way. And at moments of enlightenment, has to follow this process. Parikarma, Upachara, Anuloba, Gotrabhu, Magachitta. No one can stop it or change it or decide to be this one or that one. So people read some stories. That's why Ajahn said the other day, without right understanding, one reads the suttas or one reads the jatakas or one reads any part of the teachings, but everything is mixed up, no understanding, because it's the idea of people and things.
I think, as Ajahn said yesterday, the key point is about the understanding of the no-self. That is the key point. No one to become or nothing to become something. A Buddha or whatever Bodhisattva.
Just one comment, Ajahn, you made to Dao. You, at the beginning, you said, well, sati appears well, and we agreed this is only at the level of satipatthana, direct understanding, direct awareness. But you mentioned sati appears well, but panya doesn't appear as it's so little. But if sati appears well, then we're talking about satipatthana. Mm-hmm. So can one say that still panya is so little, so it doesn't appear well?
That's why it needs more and more moments of satipatthana.
Okay, because it's just too little satipatthana. Yeah. So sati appears well, but not panya.
Just one other point to just pick up.
When you mention about the moments of nimitta before magga, and you said it's shorter than usual, but clearer than usual. Why did you say it's shorter than usual?
Because it just precedes the magga.
Okay, that's why it's shorter than usual.
Not yeah. Like other several moments of procession.
Oh, you mean fewer moments
only
of nimitta.
Three.
Only three, right. Thank you.
Three or four. Parikama, Upachara, Anuloma, and Kodra.
Explain further about the shorter.
Because normally in a process there are seven Javana Chittas, Kusala or Akusala Chittas, but in the process of enlightenment, what Ajahn's saying is because it's the process of enlightenment and all these Chittas arise in the same process, so three moments of Nimitta and then the Parikama, the Upachara, the Anuloma, and the Gotrabhu, and the Magga, Palachitta, so it's all in one process. So the three moments of Nimitta, which is the Nimitta of Anatta, Anicca, or Dukkha, of that reality, it can be any reality, it could be visible object, it could be Jhana Chitta, any object, but only three moments because these other Chittas arise and there is the adapting and the change of lineage to enlightenment. So usually when there are seven chittas in a process, seven kusala or akusala chittas, they all have the same object and are the same kind. And as we mentioned, they arise by a sevana paccaya, repetition, condition. In this case, even though there is the repetition condition, actually just three moments experiencing the nimitta of the characteristic of reality, then there's a change of lineage, and then there are the Lokutra Chittas, the Magga Chittas, all in one process.
Okay.
Yep, so that's the reason.
So before those three
adaptation
chittas, the sense door or mind door prior to that, does that have just any object?
Or any.
Anything at all, like now, anything?
Because anything arises and falls
away, right.
So in reality can be the object.
Because there must be the three characteristics for three aspects.
Mm. And in the case of the Buddha's time, those who
had attained jhanas before, then it may be that the jhana citta or the jhana object is the object. So then they are said to become enlightened with jhana as base or proximate condition because it's the object. And this has many effects or conditions afterwards, like there can be pala cittas experienced again by those who enlightened who experienced.
But it must be the arising and falling away
of that, whatever reality. The object is. So whether it's visible object or sound or jhana.
Or jhana. So if it's always jhana, those three that are reviewing either anicca, dukkha, or anatta is reviewing that object that fell away in that previous mind or sense.
Because it's the object of that.
Yes.
Okay.
So it reviews the.
Just on one point. First of all, you said it could be
the jhana citta or its object, but it would have to be the jhana citta that would be the object, right?
We can say that it has to be the reality.
Actually, I meant jhana citta or the jhana factors, yes.
Right, okay.
So Zita's question is what exactly is being reviewed? Well, to my understanding, it's the
anicca, dukkha, or anatta.
No, I think it's the magga citta that's being reviewed, is it?
Yeah. Before the arising of magga citta, there must be the understanding of the arising and falling away as dukkha or anicca or anatta.
Right. And then after the pala citta, there's the reviewing consciousness.
The
pachavekana.
The pachavekana of the magga, pala, nibbana. And the kilesa, which hasn't
been eradicated, which has not yet been eradicated.
That which has.
So what is being reviewed is the magga citta and the pala citta and nibbana.
No, I'm talking about prior to magga citta. The three prior to magga citta.
Yes.
Their object is, before this magga citta, it's experiencing either anatta, anicca or dukkha, of the object prior, which is Sarah explained, it could be a jhana citta.
Any object.
Which is.
I think that is the object of the three jittas.
Prior to magga citta.
Yes, but it's one of those characteristics that's predominant. Is that right?
According to one's accumulation. Mm-hmm.
So the object
of those first three jhavana cittas.
Anicca, or dukkha, or anatta. Even while the satipatthana develops.
But when the characteristic is known, the object of the citta is the reality.
Yes. But at moment of experiences, the panya there, the aspect of...
Of the aspect of the
anicca,
characteristic.
Or dukkha, or anatta.
Is apparent, even though the object is the reality.
Satipatthana has been developed to such a high level, all of vipassana and jnanas have been realized. So no doubt about the characteristic of anicca, of reality, or anatta, or dukkha, but only one characteristic is attended to at a moment. So at those moments, it just depends on accumulations, whether it happens to be the anattaness of the reality or the dukkha-ness of the reality or the anicca-ness of the reality that is attended to just for three
short
instants, just at that moment.
Just to make sure I've got it clear, it's one of those three that is the object of those jittas.
It's the anicca of that reality. So it could be the anicca of visible object or the anicca of jhana citta or the anicca of hardness, any reality. It's because even in the development of satipatthana and vipassana and jnana, it is the understanding of the anattaness of reality or the understanding of the arising and falling away of reality. But there has to be reality. It's not just understanding of anattaness in a vacuum. It's always the anattanas of reality.
So the understanding of the characteristic is not a different moment from the understanding of the reality. It's the one moment and the one object that is the reality. But that reality has characteristics. So the better the reality is known, the more the characteristics become apparent.
Like if we talk now about visible object or understanding Dharma as Dharma, understanding Dharma as Dharma or understanding Dharma now as Anatta doesn't mean just a kind of idea of Dharma. It means visible object at this moment or seeing at this moment, which is understood as Dharma or understood as Anatta. So it's always a characteristic of reality. So even at the beginning of understanding, it has to be the characteristic of reality itself. And this is the same, but just highly developed understanding. Like when people talk about understanding the impermanence of dharmas or understanding the rising and falling away of dharmas, they just have some conventional idea, but actually the understanding of the arising and falling away of dharma means the understanding of the arising and falling away of visible object which appears now, the nimitta of visible object which appears now, or the nimitta of seeing which appears now. And this is the same, it's the direct understanding of a very high degree of the arising and of the nimitta of the arising falling away of reality or of whatever it is. Dukkha of the nimitta of reality.
And I think, Ajahn,
it's the same with the conditions that we talk about. The understanding of those conditions is part of the understanding of the reality itself.
Even right now, when you hear the teachings of the Buddha, it depends, because everyone knows that each reality arises and falls away. What is the feeling or the attendance of wisdom right then to see it as just arising and falling away? Or it's dukkha, not desirable anymore. Or so anatta, no one can do anything. Even at moment of listening and developing right understanding of whatever is there, to condition the moment before makkha. At that moment, whether it's the aspect of anicchan or dukkhan and or anatta,
it can be
anyone, just one.
Yeah, so it can be either
anatta or impermanence, anicca or dukkha. Not because I read somewhere it said that at the moment of enlightenment. When a reality is experienced as the Dhamma, as anatta, and right then, it's also there's understanding about dukkha and anicca.
But there are three kinds or three words or three aspects of Nibbana. When before the Makkhacitta arises, it depends on the moments before, whether it experienced with anicca. So after that, with Nibbana is the object as through anicca, and the other through anatta, and the other through dukkha. That's why there are three words for Nibbana as the experience.
So you're saying that if, for example, there's a tendency for seeing things as anicca, that Nibbana is seen as anicca?
No, because Nibbana does not arise.
No, and it doesn't. And I was going to then
talking
you would
about
need
the conditioned reality that is the object of those three cittas, the nimitta of that reality which is experienced by those three cittas before the Lokutra cittas arise. So they are not Lokutra cittas, and they experience a conditioned object just like now, visible object seeing just like now. So it depends on at that moment. It doesn't mean that because it is the understanding of the impermanence of reality, it's not very clear indeed that they are dukkha and anatta. It's clear all the vipassana jnanas have been developed,
but it depends what is attended to at the moment.
So this panya, the panya we talk about at this level is so high, so highly developed. It's not, is there another word for panya? It's got to have another word.
But now there is panya. Understanding reality is not permanent. It depends on while hearing this. What about your tendency or aspect taking it as very is dukkha? Just arising and falling upon undesirable at all.
I would say I'd probably take it for atta.
And that is dukkha. No. Undesirable to arise and fall again and again and again over and over. The whole samsara.
Yes.
See, so dukkha.
Yes.
Or anatta. It's beyond control. It's the way it is.
Mm.
Yeah. And the other aspect is it's not permanent. No matter what.
It's not actually different from this moment at all or the beginning of understanding. It's just the same. It's a bit like, just to give an analogy, we know there are purple, yellow and white flowers in the vase, but at a moment of attending, only the purple flowers are noticed or only the white flower, they're not all noticed at the same time. But it doesn't mean that the other flowers are not there. It's just the same at a moment of understanding of visible object.
Different attitude.
Which aspect is apparent?
Oh, you mean at single time, every single color experiencing?
I don't want to go too far. I'm just giving an analogy.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, just like it's impossible to attend to each one at the time in the same way with reality. It's only possible to attend to one aspect at a moment. At the moment of attending or understanding the unsatisfactoriness of visible object now, because it's so impermanent, there cannot be the understanding of the anatomist. So just different moments. It's just the same. It's nothing, no big deal, nothing so special. Just three moments.
So only one reality is experienced by panya at one time, right? Before the enlightenment. What about others? For example, like other realities. For example, just one moment of reality as the visible objects is experienced by panya. And then followed by the Magga or Phala, the enlightenment process.
Same process.
Same. So for others, Rupa or other reality as the Chitta or Chittasika, which is
long before that, like even at the very first stage of Vipassana Jnana, there has to have already been the long development of Satipatthana, so all kinds of realities very clearly understood as nama, as rupa, at different moments.
Yeah.
So like now, even beginning to consider, there has to be the understanding not just visible object, but all kinds of realities,
yes.
Namas and rupas. So even at first stage of enlightenment, there is the very clear understanding of many different realities, each one as it is, and understanding develops. So by the stage of enlightenment, no doubt, no confusion, all kinds of realities, any reality which appears, is clearly understood as Dhamma, as Anatta, as Nietzsche, as Dukkha. So it's not like just because only visible object is experienced that other objects are not known. They are known very, very clearly, otherwise there couldn't be enlightenment.
But in different moments?
Yes.
Because of one moment,
one object.
Like now, just because now there is understanding of visible object doesn't mean there hasn't been any understanding of sound or hardness or seeing.
So can it be the different moments of enlightenment for different realities? No.
Different moment of enlightenment?
By this time, all realities are known as just realities that have the three characteristics. So they're all the same. Okay. That's the point.
I got it.
They're all conditioned, rise and fall, have the characteristics.
So
whether it's consciousness or rupa, it doesn't matter.
Everything
is just these conditioned realities that are the same by nature, but each have a different particular characteristic because of its function. But apart from that, they're all the same.
So before the enlightenment, must be a very long
way.
Vipassana jnana in order.
Yes,
it takes quite a long time from one vipassana jnana to another.
I see.
Not in the same life, maybe
not. Not necessary. Because for today you have attained the first jhana and then die. So how come to become enlightened?
I'm curious about jhana citta. So jhana citta, as I studied, that it includes, for example, the first jhana, it includes 5 chetasika, vichara, vitakka, piti. I forgot the upani, not because equanimity. And the last one, I forgot. Lack, I don't know what the name is. And of course, 7 universal chetasika, and plus at least 19 sofana chetasika, and chanda, and...
Why do you want to discuss about jhana when we're talking about this other topic of delving?
Just rising in my head.
Because now we're just talking about the development of understanding of reality, so why do you want to know exactly how many chetasikas arise with jhana? What's the...
Curiosity just arise, that's all.
And can the chetasikas which arise with jhana be known?
These chetasikas that you're counting, that arise with jhana citta, can they be known?
Anytime. That's why we have to study very carefully and understand the meaning, the reality, so clear from the very beginning. Otherwise, they are mixed up. Just Dhamma must be Dhamma, no matter what kind, whether it's Rupa or Nama or Nibbana, not Self. And then, little by little, right now, that which is seen is not that which sees. This is the beginning of studying reality, not from book and remember the number of citta and chetasikas, but to understand that which appears from hearing, how it's conditioned, how many chetasikas, not to remember, but to see the uncontrollable the way it is. Closer to the understanding of non-self at all. Otherwise that self will drag one's way from this moment to other subject. In order to have the understanding which can condition the understanding of no self, what plane of existence is the Khodrupuyana?
Yes, this was the, what we call it, the change of lineage. Change of lineage means that now there are sense sphere, consciousness, karma, vatra, chittas, but at the moment of enlightenment, the marga chittas are lokutra chittas. So there has to be the change from the sense realm chittas to the lokutra, the supramundane chittas, and the Gotrabhu chitta. Actually, it is the first citta to experience nibbana. It's the, what we call the change of lineage. It's still the kama vatra citta,
but it's just the one before the supramundane cheetahs.
And can it arise again?
No.
I think just once. Only once. Mm-hmm. And what about the other stages of enlightenment?
Because they already
into the lineage of Aryan. So no need to that kind of citta.
But before the second stage of enlightenment, there are also the kamavachara cittas before the lokuttara cittas. So there still has to be the adjustment from the kamavachara cittas to the lokuttara cittas. So there has to be the gotrabhu citta also in the process of those cheetahs arising with the kamavachara cheetahs, experiencing the namitta of reality, and then the parikama, the upachara, the anuloma, and then the gotrabhu cheetah before the lokuttara cheetahs, same process.
But once that person has become Aryan, that person cannot return to be or go back to be the Vatthushana. That is Vodana instead of Kotra.
Vodana.
Yeah, Vodana.
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 So we could say that Gotrabhu only arises once in samsara for that stream of Kotra.
How do you translate Vodana?
Because it's still Vodana. It's still like change of lineage, but not
from
Gotrabhu.
From Sotapanna to Sagatagami.
Yeah,
Vodana.
Only for the the difference only is the
reducement of of the defilement for each stage of enlightenment, right? So that is the only difference.
But also greater panya, greater kusala of all kinds, like the Sakadagami, no more kilesa eradicated, but the understanding of the degree of Sakadagami is much greater than that of the Sotapanna, and the degree of the defilements is much reduced, even though no more kilesa eradicated.
It's here. Everything is here and now.
It's here?
Now.
Sorry, I didn't hear your comment or question, so could you say it again, please, using the microphone?
I said that it's a difficult subject to talk about Nibbana and Lokuttara Citta and the process of Magga and Phala Citta. But Ajahn said it's here now.
And what about
now.
The other?
Would you like to be?
Yes, thank you.
Do you think it's somewhere else, or in the future?
In a very high level of panya, the highest level of panya. So
the reality is right here and now. The panya is just not at that level to experience or
to understand it. So it's not something elsewhere or
just about the level of understanding.
It's not enough.
It's difficult. It's this moment. What is difficult? You said very difficult? Or what? Very difficult to get, to understand, and it's now.
It's actually exactly like you said about, like, at night time, if one doesn't sleep well and one's disturbed and one's thinking of this and that, and it seems like the difficulty is the lack of sleep or the bed or this or that, but actually it's always this moment. The difficulty or the disturbance is just the thinking now with attachment, ignorance or aversion. That's the only difficulty at this moment, because life is just at this moment. just still seeing, it's still visible object or thinking, no matter we're thinking about Nibbana or thinking about Citta. Actually, the difficulty is always right now, because life just exists at this moment. So any time there is difficulty or disturbance, it's actually just the citta that is disturbed, nothing else at all. Otherwise, one always thinks it's the topic of conversation or the bed or the room or this or that. But it's actually just the thinking that's disturbed now. And it depends on the accumulations, like no matter the topic, for some at this moment, kusala citta, some akusala citta, but it's all just dhammas, actually not belonging to anyone, and they pass, never to return, not of any significance. And the one who's about to become enlightened, no doubt that whatever the dhamma, it's impermanent, unsatisfactory, not self, of no use clinging to it at all. So no doubt about what the disturbance is in life.
Just sound.
Just nimitta of sound. What's a dhamma one, good cheaters.
Can be monitoring.
There's a lot of clinging when there is listening and really well understanding what's being said. It's always, for me, it's just like wanting to hang on to that. Sometimes when I hear something, I want to write down what you said, but already it's gone. It's like how the exact words that you've said.
That's the way
gone.
It is.
It's gone already.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is, yes. Yes. Yes.
At that moment, it couldn't be any other way.
Like if Bhavanga Chitta's arising that moment, it can't be any other way. Or if one's disturbed or has some dosa, or it's just exactly how it is. Mm-hmm. Just dhammas, so why wish for it to be any other way?
So good to understand. Otherwise, one thinks it's so very easy. And that will condition attachment to get it, to do or want to have it very soon. But when one knows impossible, then there's no attachment or clinging or try to do, because it's wrong.
And then no disturbance at all when
it's not clear or not known or not understood at all. Yeah. It's only because of the clinging and the expectation and the trying that there's any disturbance when it's not the way we'd like it to be.
And is it like a relief?
Yes.
By what?
Relief.
Because?
There's more understanding.
The understanding of the anatta-ness?
Yes.
Anatta or anicjang or dukkhang? Beginning to see.
You know, before, sometimes I think I should have met you before, but now, no. It's mm-hmm. just by condition.
That is you who think.
Yeah.
But when it's the reality, depending on conditions. More relief.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I thought that I should have met Achan like 20 years or more.
The clinging to the idea of self.
Just a fantasy story.
Yeah.
And it's more than that. Actually, there is no I at all. Only in this life. Not past or future life. Different namas and rupas.
I don't know if I misheard you at the very beginning. I thought you said something like, sound appears not as long as what is seen, but it's there or something. What do you mean sound appears but not as long as what is seen?
Because when we talk about seeing, no idea about the arising and falling way at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the whisper object, no idea. Mm-hmm. But sound, see, shorter than that. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it's much shorter than it.
In reality as well.
What, in reality, what is much shorter than that?
The arising and falling.
Oh, in reality, it is much shorter than we think it is.
Right.
And the reason visible object seems to last longer is because of the strong attachment to
and
it.
And the way it arises in succession, non-stop.
Okay, because of it's so commonly experienced.
Yeah.
Yes, so it seems to last long.
The short, the lifespan is...
No. It's just about the way it seems to be, because visible object is experienced so often... And there is so much attachment to it, so it seems that it lasts longer. And sound doesn't seem to last so long because it's not as commonly experienced, or taste shorter still, but actually it's much, much shorter than it
and
seems to be.
And what about others, sense door?
The same.
Same odor doesn't seem to last as long because it's not as commonly experienced as visible object or sound, but actually it's much shorter.
The whole day seeing, some moments hearing,
and some moments touching.
Yeah,
but visible object seems to appear all day long.
Mm. Can we say it's actually because it's experienced so often all the time, but also because there's so much attachment to it? Or
it depends, because even Ananda or the Savaka, things appear as they
And I know Tadal has questions he wanted to ask about Nimitta and Pariyatti and some topics from the other day.
I have two questions. My first question is that I'd like to know how Four Noble Truths and the development of Sati and Panya are concerned. How these two things are correlated. If somebody asks me, please explain how these are correlated, I cannot explain.
You mean that you'd like to understand the
Four Noble
Truths?
The Sati and Panya of this moment.
Could you repeat it on the
microphone? Oh, I can. So if somebody asks me how Four Noble Truths and development of Sati and Panya are correlated, I cannot explain.
Then you ask the person, what is Four Noble Truths?
Suppose they know what they are.
Suppose they don't know, so they ask. Because it's not just a word. When we talk about the first Noble Truth, remember truth, Noble Truth, that will lead one to the becoming an Aryan, the enlightened person. So that person has to understand Dhamma from the very beginning. Without understanding Dhamma, what is the first Noble Truth? Impossible, because it is the arising and falling away of all five khandhas. It's not just one to understand this or that without understanding from the very beginning what is there now, or what is Dhamma.
In concept, right now, talking about before
understand even the first Noble Truth, you need to understand the Dhamma first. So what kind of level are you talking about? Just understand the
what is Dhamma?
The realities, but...
Does it arise?
Yes.
Does it fall away? And this is the first Noble Truth? It doesn't mean that there is nothing, but the characteristic which is not permanent. As soon as it has arisen, it falls away instantly, from moment to moment.
Like visible object, we're talking about visible object and why visible object is unsatisfactory. The reason it's unsatisfactory is because it's anatta and it arises and falls away, so it cannot be held on to, it cannot be made to last at all. And this is the first Noble Truth. And the other day Ajahn was talking about
Satchanyana, Kichanyana, Katanyana. This is actually from the first sermon the Buddha gave, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So Satchanyana is the understanding, the firm intellectual understanding of visible objects, sound, seeing, all the realities we've been talking about. And so it's a firm understanding of the first noble truth, the arising and falling away of these different realities. Each one is unsatisfactory, not in anyone's control. And the cause of life in samsara, the cause of the arising again and again of these unsatisfactory dharmas, the cause of all problems in life, is lobha. Without lobha, no life in samsara, no dosa, no disturbance at night, no problems, no issues at all. And it's the intellectual understanding of the unconditioned dharma, and then the way out of samsara, the Eightfold Path, beginning with right understanding. And it's only this
Can I disturb you just for a moment? Why does the Buddha pick up just one chetasika, which is lobha, as the cause of all the sufferings?
With lobha must be moha. So it's lobha and moha together. Because whenever there's lobha, there is ignorance. And like ignorance is given as the start of the paticca samuppada, the cause of life in samsara. So it's ignorance with attachment, because there is clinging to that which is impermanent and unsatisfactoriness, clinging for existence. If lobha is eradicated, no more life in samsara. The arahat has eradicated lobha and ignorance, so no more kusala akusala cittas, no more life in samsara. And it is the satchanyana, the firm intellectual understanding about these realities, which are anatta, anicca, dukkha, that leads to the katanyana, which is the development of satipatthana, or the patipatti, the direct understanding of these realities.
Going back to Gern's original question, I think people, when they hear the noble truth of suffering, they are thinking of suffering as the normal meaning of that word, pain and suffering and mental distress and that sort of thing. But what it actually means is it's the noble truth of the unsatisfactoriness of conditioned dhammas. Because dukkha is dukkha of conditioned realities. And so we have to think of it not as the noble truth of suffering, but the noble truth of the unsatisfactoriness of conditioned realities. And on Tadal's question, why does it all depend on one jetasika? Or why was one jetasika only picked out as the cause of suffering? I think sometimes the word origin is used in this context as the origin of suffering. And it's the origin because as long as there is life in samsara, there are conditioned realities and they are unsatisfactory. So it's only when there is no longer the conditions for existence in samsara that the origin of unsatisfactoriness comes to an end. Here again, people mistake because they read in the suttas that the cessation of unsatisfactoriness comes with the ending of lobha, dosa, moha, that is, at enlightenment. They take the view that this means that the arahat does not experience suffering as they understand it. But what it really is referring to is that the fully enlightened being has cut off all further round-producing activities. No more karma, wholesome or unwholesome, for the arahat, just kriyajitas, as we've been discussing. So no more wood is being put on the fire, the bonfire of life in samsara. And that fire will eventually go out when the lifespan comes to an end. So that's why the destruction of the taints of the kilesas is said to be the cessation of suffering. It's the cessation actually of the origin of suffering. The cessation of the origin of the unsatisfactoriness, but still the Arahant is living in a world of conditioned realities which are unsatisfactory. So there's no actual ending of unsatisfactoriness at that moment.
I have read a book about a late monk in Thailand who believes that he said in his book that he was believed an arahat. He said in the book that
he believed to be an arahat.
Yes, and he was said to be. He was told to be an arahat. People believe. Yes. And sorry. And but he wrote in his book that why he was sitting in meditation in many nights, he met the Buddha and his disciple. And he said that the Buddha appeared in such a, it's not the Sakya Buddha, but the Buddha in the past. And also his disciple at that time. And also he had a conversation. He communicated with the Buddha and his disciple. And I was so confused because the end of the samsara, so how come a Buddha and his disciple as an arahat can appear in a way? I don't know. So what do you comment on that?
He doesn't know anything about Dhamma.
he was believed to be one of the
but what is
best
Dhamma?
Monk.
Doesn't matter.
Lived in the early 20th century.
What nationality?
Thai. Yes.
Many monks.
So, someone explained that because in the sutta, Buddha says he addressed himself, the Buddha, sometimes he addressed himself, I don't know in English, but in Vietnamese, does not exist or does not exist. It doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. So neither is nor does not exist. So that's why he said that he can appear in a way such as...
If he'd like to talk about enlightenment, he should say something about reality at this moment. It's not some story that he has met Buddha, etc. And he loved to meditate because he just wanted to sit.
I think he loved to sit. Imagine, I think.
There is nothing to do with enlightenment.
This is why we pay such attention to the whole of the teachings. Because we are learning everything.
Wrong view and dangerous because he teaches all his students wrong views.
Yeah, it's impossible for the Buddha to appear to anyone.
I suddenly forget his name.
There are many of them. And what happens is
they all have a lot of followers, devoted followers, who believe every word they say.
And who believe they're arahats.
And they may not directly say they're enlightened, but they allow their followers to believe they are and to promulgate this belief amongst other people. And anything they say gets passed on by their followers to the world at large. But we know that it can't be that way.
And if we're confused when we hear about these things, should we blame them or what is the cause of the confusion?
No, just condition. Well...
the condition
because of not enough firm understanding. Firm understanding Satchinyana, when it's firm understanding of the noble truths, no doubt at all. So one reads these stories or hears about him, we're told that this person's an arahat and this one, it doesn't condition any confusion, because
really,
one knows it's all nonsense.
I was a bit confused, but not now.
Because more understanding now, so no confusion when one hears these things or reads it, because anyone can say anything.
I heard about the Nibbana as like ultimate peace or happiness, true happiness, something like the experiencing of that.
Another myth. Hmm. Okay, I don't know that. Hmm. So what is that?
What is Nibbana?
The feeling.
Nibbana, the object of the citta, right?
Yes.
So at that moment, it has to.
For how many moments? Is Nibbana the object of?
I think many moments of the citta experiencing the Nibbana, right?
Well, it depends. So, at the moment of enlightenment, just Magga and Pala jittas.
Okay, but during the life, after enlightened, then.
And what are the conditions for Nibbana to be the object after enlightenment?
I don't know.
Oh.
Because I'm totally lost at the
end. Okay, maybe I.
Nibbana can be the object of. What's it called?
Okay, maybe just some or.
Who have mind, a. Yeah, but it doesn't normally arise in the life of the enlightened being.
Okay.
As we've said many times, moments of enlightenment are followed by ordinary karma, vachara, jittas, just like now.
Just
like now, the sense experiences with attachment or aversion or whatever, or for the arahat, they're maha kiriya jittas, but they're still experiencing sense door objects.
No vina, nibbana during the
pala samapati can have? But that's a very special case.
Okay, because I heard
about only certain enlightened beings can attain pala samapati after enlightenment.
When
I heard about the ultimate peaceful.
People have the idea of going to Nibbana and being in Nibbana. But this is a myth.
The first question finished.
So just apart from moments of enlightenment and the pala, the fruition, cittas that immediately follow, only those who attained enlightenment with jhana as base, so if that object of those cheetahs beforehand was jhana cheetah, then in that case afterwards the pala cheetahs can experience nibbana again later in life, like in the case of the Buddha and the great arahats, they could experience the nibbana again and again. So this is, as Jonathan said, special case, just those enlightened ones who had attained jhana immediately before enlightenment.
Next question, or you have another question for Dan about
the
Hariyati and the limitations you would like to ask about.
Is the first question clear?
Correlationship between the development of Satipatthana and Four Noble Truths.
Continue with that.
I could understand the part three, but and the fourth one is
the fourth one is the Noble Eightfold Path.
Mm.
And what are the eight factors of the Noble Eightfold Path?
Well, two things have been picked up.
Two things?
Yeah, Satya and Panya. Satya and Panya is so important.
Yes.
So it's how the development of Satyapanya can be regarded as the development of Four Noble Truths.
I see. Because it's the seeing of things as they really are that is the key to enlightenment. When things are seen as they really are, as anicca, dukkha, anatta, when that understanding is developed, to a sufficiently high degree, it can eradicate the tendency to be attached or to take it for something else that it's not, or to wish for continued existence in samsara. So as long as there's ignorance and wrong view, there can be no enlightenment. Well, I'm not sure what your question actually is. Originally you asked about the correlation between
Panya
and the Four Noble Truths. Well, the Fourth Noble Truth are the factors that arise at the moment of enlightenment.
Really?
Yes. They're the jhana seekers that accompany
Magajita. It's only at the moment of enlightenment.
That all of those factors arise at the same time.
Okay.
So also is there, the Eightfold Path.
Is there anything arising and falling away now? Can that be directly experienced?
No, it's so difficult.
Can it be?
Yeah,
not by ignorance at all. So only hearing about now, seeing arises and falls away, that is dukkha, it's not enough to be dukkha riya sabja, even if so true. But in order to understand that it is Ariya Satcha, not ordinary Satcha, because it needed high Panya, which is developed from hearing that now, seeing arises and falls away. And what can know? Not ignorance, but it has to be Panya from hearing until it becomes the Satyana. Now, Panya can experience that, but it's not the beginning at all. That's why from hearing again and again and again, do not go to anywhere else, because no matter where you go, that cannot condition right understanding. Only hearing the teachings until it's enough to condition direct understanding, which is satipatthana. And panya from intellectual understanding conditioned the moment to begin to understand the characteristic which experiences and that which cannot experience. So it's not just saying that all realities arise and fall away and not know that now it arises and falls away. It has to understand different stages, different degree of panya and sati. So now there must be sati at moment of understanding, intellectually, but not satipatthana, not direct one. Because now there are citta and cetasikas, many, many moments, many, many processes. They do not appear because it's only hearing that is not I, but what are now must be citta and cetasikas only. So without this as condition, the satipatthana, the direct one, cannot arise at all. And even it has arisen at the beginning, it cannot penetrate the truth which arises and falls away instantly. It takes time. Even the vipassana jnana, it said among the vipassana jnana, from sammasana jnana to uddiyapayana, it is the kanti jnana. See? So how do we understand that meaning of kanti? It's just a cetasika, viriya cetasika, but it begins from hearing, not yet kanti jnana, because it's not vipassana jnana. So now it develops on and on and on and on, unknowingly all the time, nobody's there, until the first vipassana jnana appear by conditions, and that is katta jnana, but not yet enlightenment. Just begin to see different world from now, because now is the world of nimitta, many things, but that is the world of reality. The citta which appears, it appears in darkness because there's no light. Citta doesn't have shape, form, odor, taste, nothing. But whenever it arises in darkness, completely whole darkness, it experiences. So when we talk about citta arises and appears as that which experiences, the world is not like now at all. Everything is lost. They cannot appear together with the moment when citta appears, because panya is enough to understand the characteristic which has no shape, no form, no rupa in it, but just experience in darkness. So whenever darkness and whenever citta and chetasika appears, all is dark. So the world of bright understanding eliminate the idea of sammuti and nimitta, because reality appears just one at a time. No doubt about that, which is the faculty of experiencing. And when feeling is there, it's different from that which experience. See, each one appear as it is. So that is the nama, rupa, parichetayana. But before that, there must be the very firm confidence on the intellectual understanding. No self who can try or can do anything. Everything goes on by conditions until sammasati begins to arise. Why do we say begin? Because it arises once, and then other moments of ignorance and attachment all day covers up. It cannot appear as it has been appeared yet. But once it was there, when it arises again, right understanding, understand, that is sammasati. By conditions only. So it takes patience, but not kantiyana. So when we talk about the parami, from moment to moment of understanding, and other jetasikas like viriya and so on, are parami. To condition the moment of direct understanding of whatever is that, as it is. Now they do not appear as they are at all. They appear together, like seeing and thinking and so on. But when it is vipassanayana, the world is dark, because the light is not there. Otherwise, the citta cannot appear as it is, as it's not light, it's not sound, it's not anything at all. It's only that which experience. So it needs sati and panya from the very beginning, because at this moment of hearing, they are there, but different level, but they do not show up at all under that which cover the whisper object and everything and sammuti and nimitta. That's why all realities have nimitta, because they do not appear. Even at that moment when reality appears, one characteristic, but many as nimitta of it. So vipassanayana is not the intellectual understanding, and it's not the moment of sammasati begins to arise from moment to moment. And if you just want it to arise more, it's wrong. That's why patience is there, even from moment when sammasati arises. And it can arise later by conditions only. It can be 1 day, 2 days, 10 years, 2 months. It depends on condition. Otherwise, the self is trying, wishing, waiting, expecting all the time. And this is where to eliminate the very strong attachment to the self of the five khandhas. That's why the first Ariya Sacca must be the experiencing of the arising and falling away as dukkha. Because now it doesn't hurt anyone at all. It arises and falls away, all right. See, hearing again and again, it is troubled. But when panya is there, it depends on the strength of panya. Because at the moment of the first vipassanayana, where are the self? See? Sanya, feeling, and other upadana khanda. Only one appears as object. That's why it takes time to understand the other little by little, later, by conditions. Before the wrong understanding, the clinging to the idea of self is completely eradicated, no more. In the process of Makkhapala.
So that's why it has to be the Satchanyana, the intellectual understanding of the Four Noble Truths, firm intellectual understanding of the Four Noble Truths, that leads to Kicchanyana, the development of Satipatthana, the direct understanding of realities and the Noble Truths, and only that can lead to Katanyana, or the development of the Vipassana Jnanas, and on to enlightenment. So without the clear understanding at the beginning, so actually it's just what we're always talking about, Pariyati, Patipati, Pativeda, talking with regard to the Noble Truths.
Thank you. Before moving into my second question there, I'd like to talk about what Jonathan mentioned. Jonathan, did you not say that it is so wrong to say Nibbana is happiness?
Is Nibbana Khanda?
No. I'd like to quote one gata from Dhamma Pabla. He said that Santuti Paraman Skaya. No, Alogya Santuti. No. Alogya Parama.
Nibbana Paraman Sukha.
Yeah. And then Santuti Paraman Dananya. Then Visasa Paraman Nyati. Leko Nibbana Paraman Skam.
Yes. Nibbana Paraman, not ordinary, Sukha. But Nibbana does not arise. It's not any of the khanda at all. That's the meaning of Paramang Sukha. That's the meaning.
But we experience Nibbana.
Nibbana itself does not experience anything at all.
No. Those who experience Nibbana can experience
the
Sukha.
The Lokuttarajita experience. But the Nibbana itself, it's Paramang Sukha, beyond other khanda. Because Nibbana does not arise, the end of the whirling realities.
Because conventionally people think that worldly things are happiness. Mm. And Buddha's explaining that the highest happiness is the escape from all the worldly things. Mm. It doesn't mean happy feeling necessarily.
Mm. It's not worldly.
It's a metaphorical use of happiness.
So it's the khandhas that are dukkha, the first noble truth. And the third noble truth is the unconditioned, the dhamma that is not khanda and not dukkha, that is because it's not impermanent, that is nibbana.
Okay, my next question is about realities, dhamma. Then nimitta, then panyati. I do not understand way to differentiate these from each other.
Is there now nimitta?
No.
We have to begin to understand nimitta. Yes, but we have heard the word nimitta. We better understand what it is.
No, for me, it's I cannot see the difference between nimitta and panyati.
Panyati, okay. Mm. If there is no realities at all, can there be any nimitta?
There has to be realities.
There must be reality,
yeah.
And the cessation is nimitta. Okay. So, if no one knows at all, can anyone know the difference between nimitta and reality? If there is no reality which can experience, so only rupa doesn't know anything about nimitta or whatever at all, right? So it has to be citta and cetasika which arises, which experiences an object. But since the object does not appear as it is, what appears is only the nimitta. No matter of rupa, of vedana, sanya, sankhara, whatever reality, right? So now there are the differences between paramatta dhamma and nimitta, right? Before panyati.
Okay. The relationship between reality is and nimitta is like this. I have to visualize everything. Yeah? So there will be a peanuts, yeah? Some peanuts. Some shops sell peanuts coated by chocolate, yeah? Yeah?
Okay.
To me, the reality, peanuts is reality. And chocolate, nimitta. So one would never see from outside, yeah, what this chocolate is, because it's covered by nimitta. Sorry, I have to visualize it.
Ajahn explains that nimitta applies when we are talking about the reality that is now appearing. Right? So
reality doesn't appear because reality is covered by nimitta.
So you think about the nimitta as a chocolate?
Chocolate.
And the
chocolate.
Reality is and the reality is the peanut. And what is the peanut?
We do not see peanuts.
Yeah, but what is that?
Because it's reality. Because okay. They have to be here.
But peanut is nimitta of reality already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peanuts are
reality.
Yeah.
Yes.
Chocolate is nimitta.
Double.
And then box of chocolate, peanut chocolate is peanut.
I think it's...
This is the world
covered
up by many, many thinking. Yeah.
It's all the ideas of the chocolate covering up the truth of the nimitta.
But nimitta is very momentary thing which is associated with each arising or falling away of reality. But panyati is more has to do with a sort of knowing or perceiving or thinking. Yeah.
Then nimitta make known of something from nimitta. So panyati, no matter you don't use any word, but it appears something that is nimitta.
Okay.
So reality and then nimitta and then panyati.
I stick to my simile of peanut chocolate.
Yes, but what is peanut?
I thought the visual thing was a jet engine turbine. That was your yesterday's image.
This is new one.
New one.
Yeah.
Yes, I came up.
So,
do you know the dangerous person?
Who is the dangerous person?
The arahata, who say, think that they are arahatas.
Ah, well, there. Even in Cambodia.
But not arahata.
The arahata.
So,
people assume.
Anyone who does not speak, teach the word of the Buddha, is dangerous person.
Wow. So, does it mean that everyone understands the Dhamma to a certain extent, it's his obligation to teach what he've learned to other people?
Because people believe, not understanding the teachings of the Buddha at all.
It's something I have this very recently I started to feel that I shouldn't just keep quiet. I have to somehow verbalize, I have to talk, otherwise people would never understand.
So when we say that at the moment of enlightenment the fourth noble truth is arised, is that correct? So does it is no different from the moment when the eighth pope has arise at the moment of enlightenment?
What I said was that the eight factors of the fourth noble truth are the mental factors that accompany the Maggajitta at moment of enlightenment.
Is sati one of the Eightfold Paths?
Samasati. Yes, samasati.
Not yet?
At the moment of enlightenment only.
What about the path leading?
When satipatthana at the moment of
understanding.
Yes.
So the understanding with sati will lead to, or it will be the factor of the Eightfold Path.
I see.
When it's there. But when it's not there, it's the beginning, the development from hearing, considering, direct understanding, and realizing.
Yes.
So this really answers Tadao's question, because when there is worldly satipatthana, the path factor of sati is being developed. But not all eight path factors arise at a moment of mundane...
Usually five. Why? Without what?
Excuse me?
Why?
Five,
why
not eight.
Five factors. Without the three, the group of...
Three, purity.
Jan, just one quick question. There's a lot of discussion on our list about what exactly the Pali Canon is. So when you think of the Pali Canon, do you think of it as the Tipitaka, or the Tipitaka plus ancient commentaries, or it doesn't matter at all, just words of the Buddha? What do you think of as the Pali Canon?
Because you see that they're all about the truth of realities.
Yes.
Any word which brings about the understanding better and better.
So can one say any word that brings about the truth, no matter where it's found, is the Pali Canon?
Why do we separate that this is the Tipitaka and this is commentary and this is the other?
Regarding the Pali Canon, I'd like to ask Kunsichi. When Buddha Gosa Acharya, when he was going to write the commentary to Vinaya, somehow he had to make an aditana, determination, and praying for the Buddha, saying that, please let me finish this work. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Why did he make such a determination?
Conditions.
I don't know, this is a hard work.
Yeah. It's like now. Would we die to live on just for the sake of understanding realities?
Or just for the sake of sharing with others?
Yeah.
So just being able to finish the work to share with others for the sake of the Dharma.
This is what I learned from you.
It can be one condition among other conditions. Because you didn't want anything in return at all, just only that result.
Yeah.